Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to you all. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mudiwa Gavaza, and for today, we are going to be having, I guess I'm going to call it a continuation of a conversation that, that we've been having, and that's around, investment in technology, media, and telecoms. But, sort of more specifically today, around the telecommunications and technology piece of that particular equation. We've spoken to a number of different parties in this respect. We've spoken to mobile operators, we've spoken to banks, we've spoken to consulting firms, just around some of the action that's happening in this space. We've also spoken to private equity players that are investing in this space. But for today, we are happy to be joined by the team from APSA. We have Chile Moyo, who is a coverage banker over at APSA's CIB. If I remember correctly, that's the investment banking side of APSA, covering technology, media, and telecoms, otherwise known as TMT. And then we're also joined by Barbara Asafu Ajay, who is the head of TMT over at APSA Ghana. So to get the ball rolling, before we go too far, I'm just going to, start off by getting a sense of the state of things, because they recently, authored quite an interesting article just around, what's going on in terms of the digital revolution, the place of TMT, and that type of thing when it comes to Africa. So what I'm going to do just as an opening, is to maybe ask, each of them to maybe talk to us about, what their focus area is, because obviously we said TMT, but, what their focus area is. And right now, in the current moment that we're in, what are you interested in? Because the world of TMT is so vast, it's so broad. There's so much, to think about. But when we're talking specifically telecoms and technology, what is piquing your interest right now? And Chela, I'm going to start with you. Is it 4G, 5G? Is it towers, fiber? Like, what is, of interest to you right now in the space?
Mdiwa, thank you very much for the introduction, and good morning, good afternoon, good evening to listeners around the globe. From a TMT perspective, my particular focus from an APSA CIB context is looking after key names around telecommunications, media, and technology space. And what's of particular interest to me is the digital transformation that's being driven by the various entities in those subsectors, and how that translates to innovation, more digital inclusivity across the continent, and how we are looking at sustainability. Sustainability is a pretty topical conversation across several sectors, and is of particular focus for us from an APSA CIB perspective. And so that's really my area of interest at the moment.
That's actually, quite an interesting one. Barbara, your take, on this particular front?
Yes, Mudiwa. Like you're right, my name is Barbara Asafu-Ajay, and I sit within Ghana Corporate and Investment Banking. I manage a portfolio of businesses within the telecom, media, and technology ecosystem. So all their value chain businesses are my focus area. And what is interesting to me, especially around our article on driving sustainable digital revolution for Africa, it's the need of, improved infrastructure within the digital space and its ability to improve connectivity, accessibility, and affordability within telecommunications and technology precisely. And then again, the need of strategic alignment between actors in the area of government, market, and civil service, and how important that is to position Africa as an enabling environment to birth, innovations around the fintech world. So I think that is the focus area for me. And for us in APSA, corporate and investment banking, we are well positioned to actually partner initiatives around that ecosystem.
Barbara, perhaps as a follow-up, you know, because we are talking about that ecosystem and you know, the continent as a whole, and I guess APSA, you know, as a player that has a presence in a number of you know, African countries, assisting you know, where you guys can when it comes to development you know, of the telecoms and technology space. One of the things that's quite interesting to me is the fact that we've reached a point where, you know, people are trying to say, okay, fine, there's an Africa continental free trade area, but, you know, what type of policy instruments can we have to actually drive some of these agendas? And one of them is the African Union's digital transformation strategy, right? So I think what I'm keen to understand, because there does sound to be a lot of opportunity in the space, but of that opportunity, as far as you can tell, how much of it do you think is actually going to be driven by some of, you know, a strategy, something like this, versus specific maybe in-country policies that, you know, different countries might actually have?
Yes, Modiwa. Just to actually, I mean, talk a little bit more around the African Union Digital Transformation Strategy. You know, it actually have some bold objectives, especially to get Africa to a space where we'll be digitally connected. And such a strategy requires an implementation phase, because if there's no implementation, it remains as a strategy. So for us as a bank, we've actually positioned ourselves to be the partner of choice to support infrastructure initiative, which is, I mean, required in the implementation of the strategy. And it's exciting to also note that if you've heard about the Africa Continental Free Trade Area, we have actually partnered that initiative in Ghana. And we have also plugged into the Pan-African Payment Settlement Services that is required to enable payment within the African Continental Free Trade Area. The opportunities we see within the ecosystem, it's quite enormous. We are looking as a bank to support development around infrastructure like fiber, networking, broadband connectivity, and most importantly, to also partner innovations on mobile technology.
Cele, I'm going to just bring you in on this front, because I think when you look at some of these documents, these big plans that come in, I like the fact that Barbara is talking about the implementation, because I think many are well strategized on well articulated vision of where we want to go, but actually making it happen on the ground is, you know, it seems to be a tough call. I remember talking to one of the mobile operators recently about, you know, a simple fact about how if two companies come together, let's say, you know, for argument's sake, you are talking to a satellite company that has an Africa presence, and you're talking to a mobile operator that also has an Africa presence. If you decide that you're going to work together on satellite throughout the operating countries, that agreement made at group level, it takes so much to then implement it at specific country level. And I'm just wondering, you know, when it comes to some of the broad ambitions of the African continent, how do we actually make sure that the implementation part is done, you know, that, you know, the financing is done, that the plans actually come to fruition, that we actually, you know, make those things happen? Is it on the part of, you know, a lender such as, you know, APSA to be going out into the industry and, you know, identifying and trying to drive you know, opportunities for investment, or do we sort of wait for certain players, mobile operators, fiber companies, or whoever it is, to say, this is what we want to do. Please, may you help us to actually make this a reality.
I think with respect to your question, and just following on from Barbara's points, in terms of implementation, context is absolutely key. The first thing for me would obviously be to note that Africa is not homogenous. There's, you know, over 50 different types of states across the continent with their own individual nuances. That said, what we've seen is that, and what the data shows us is that from a broad perspective, about nearly 300 million Africans live more than 50 kilometers from a fiber or cable broadband connection, right? And that's to your point about how different types of entities, let's say mobile network operators or fiber operators or satellite companies, come together to solution for the challenges across the continent. Now, if you have such a statistic where nearly a third of the African population live more than 50 kilometers from a fiber cable, what that says to us is obviously that there's a lack of, you know, high-speed internet connectivity. What we're seeing increasingly is improved mobile penetration across the continent, but what is still remains a challenge is broader internet penetration across the continent, right? And, you know, so additional statistics released by the World Bank and the International Finance Corporation, the IFC, tell us that for every 10% increase in broadband penetration in low and middle income countries results in approximately between 1.3 and 2.5% increase in GDP. So from an implementation perspective, what that's telling us is that partnership and collaboration with various stakeholders across the value chain is absolutely key. So what this is telling me is that from a banking perspective, so if that's from a lender perspective, private equity players, government players, together with mobile network operators, with technology operators, and other key players, tower companies, fiber companies, is absolutely key in terms of solution, identifying what the core issues are. As I've said, one of which is access to high-speed internet across the continent, and seeing how, one, we get improve accessibility to high-speed internet at an affordable price for consumers across the continent. So, of course, from a lender perspective, you want to partner and assist with funding entities who have sufficient scale to be enabled to be able to roll this out from an implementation perspective, and sustainability to be able to see it through to completion over the years. I'll pause there.
No, that's fine. And I like the fact that, you know, when it comes to that that implementation discussion, I think we're quite aligned about the fact that the African continent, you know, is made up of, you know, all of these more than 50 countries that present different, I'm going to call them use cases, or different areas, you know, or different, even different levels of development. You know, some countries might, you know, have, let's say, high penetration of fiber, but still be struggling on 3G and 4G. But other countries might be pushing, you know, the envelope when it comes to 4G coverage, maybe starting to push in 5G into the market. One of the things that I'm, you know, sort of more curious about, and one of the big things why I was, you know, so interested in having, you know, this conversation, you know, with the team from ABSA is, you know, we always have to think about the big picture, is to say, right now where things are, there are a lot of buzzwords when it comes to the space. For example, you know, we talk about 3G, 4G, 5G when it comes on the mobile side, and we know that mobile is the is where a lot of the attention is. You know, when it comes to actual internet access, you know, for people on the African continent. At the same time, there's a lot of noise that's being made about, you know, new technologies such as, you know, such as 5G. So what I'm going to ask, and I will pose this to both of you, Cele, I will start with you on this, is to say, there's an ambition, you know, to be on the cutting edge when it comes to technology, but we're using the statistics you were talking about just now, 50Ks away from, you know, from fiber, low smartphone penetration, all of these issues, you know, should we really be pushing, you know, to try and do, let's say, the 5G, or can we at least get the basics right, in pushing our investment around areas like such as 4G, you know, just to at least make sure that people, you know, are appropriately covered, and then we start building the blocks from their device affordability, all of that stuff.
Leo, that's a really fantastic question, right? So, I mean, the 5G, 3G conversation is interesting, and it attracts, you know, diverging views. And by diverging views, I'm talking to the fact that there's, you know, obviously a lot of conversation around 5G connectivity. But at the same time, the question is it really realistic in our markets, right? And I look at that from a place of affordability. 5G connections require what would be relatively expensive and relatively sophisticated mobile phones in the hands of users. And in most instances, the majority of African populations are still rural and peri-urban. So what this talks to is, in the first place, I think we need to focus on getting affordable mobile phones into the hands of various users and meeting them at their point of need. So whether that's still 2G and still 3G at that point, I think that should be the focus, right? But and you know, we're seeing different activity across the continent with various mobile network operators investing across the value spectrum of affordability. And what I mean by that is that where they have identified a stronger or a more significant rural population, there's stronger investment into, in the first place, rolling out the basic infrastructure that is required for more rural and peri-urban environments, right? And then what we're then seeing on the other end of the spectrum, where you have more urban environments and perhaps more, I would say, better affordability in those environments, then you're starting to see, I guess, a different level of technology investment and a different level of spectrum investment and, I guess, you know, plans to ramp up 5G coverage where it is feasible.
Yeah, that's true. And especially, you know, that balancing act, like what you're saying, you know, just at least making sure that the basics are in order, but at the same time, for some countries, you know, that want to be on the bleeding edge, you know, of technology, and you know, talking about the African continent as a whole, I guess my view is that, you know, there's still a lot of development that needs to be done, you know, if we're to cut through, you know, the noise around some of the bleeding edge technologies. Really great use cases, you know, if you can, you know, get your infrastructure to a level, you know, where you can roll some of those things out. But at the very least, let's make sure that our populations, you know, are covered. Barbara, I wanted to maybe pose the same question to you, but maybe we can bring in a little bit of nuance, because you can give us a view on a country like Ghana. You know, how have they gone about, you know, maybe addressing that tension between the development agenda, you know, versus being, you know, on the bleeding edge. In telecoms, we see Ghana as one of the big markets on the continent, and also one of the countries that's, you know, pushing, you know, quite a bit in terms of, you know, some of the policies and also some of the adoption of new technology. So you're just keen to get your view on that front.
Yeah, Budiwa. So for Ghana, like you rightly said, the country is embracing technology, you know, in a very intense way. But I think it's important to show highlights on the points that, I mean, Chelle made, especially around the need of bringing everybody on board. If indeed we need to drive this inclusive digital transformation, and especially looking into the strategy of the African Union around their digital transformation, you know, focus. In Ghana, we see most of the innovations being driven in the urban areas. You see most of the youth actually driving a lot of the innovation. But when you move a little bit away, about 2 miles away from the city, most people might not have even seen or hold, you know, a smartphone. Why is this the reason? Because there is low connectivity outside of the city because of low infrastructure development. What is important for us as a country to get us to the space where everybody becomes digitally enabled is for us to deploy fiber optic, you know, solutions or dark fiber across the country. Not only in Accra, that is the city, we should be looking to even deploy more in the rural areas to enhance connectivity. Once connectivity is enhanced and there is accessibility and affordability, people would actually have the edge to actually buy smartphones to enable them tap into the innovations around technology or around the smartphone that we have. So for me, I think that the digital infrastructure connectivity in the rural areas to bridge the gap between urban and city connectivity, it's key to driving this digital, inclusive agenda of our continent. Yeah.
One of the things that I've personally been keeping an eye on, especially that balancing act, that's happening, particularly in a country like Ghana, is that, and I'm singling out Ghana because when you sort of see the way that the dominoes, you know, tend to fall, we often look at policy development in certain countries, or at least the countries that are leading in terms of thinking in a particular space, and then that informs. Africa is not homogeneous, as was articulated by Tele earlier on, but what happens in one region, you know, does have some influence, or at least informs part of the policy debates in other regions. And in Ghana's embracing of technology and, you know, new telecom standards and all of that, fintech has been a huge, you know, part of that equation. And we've actually seen some aggressive policy stances from Ghanaian authorities, particularly around taxes. And obviously for operators such as MTN that have operations in that part of the continent, you know, we see some of that being reflected in their results. At both, you know, half year, they started warning about it in the start of 2023, and we started seeing that impact coming through by the half year in June, third quarter in September, and full year now. So some of the policies that have come in, obviously at some point regulators will come in, authorities will come in, they will see something new. It grows to a certain point, and then you sort of have to start putting some of those guardrails around it. And in this particular case, it's the regulations and also some of the taxing. But some people have, you know, obviously not been fans. So it was also, Barbara, to get your take on, you know, another type of balancing act that's happening, right? And that's around policy, right? You've got this great new area that is helping to push financial inclusion, but I guess the taxing of it has been, you know, quite a bit of a debate.
I think that was a very good question about policies and our drive around financial inclusion. For us in Ghana, mobile money technology is pivotal. It's key to our financial inclusion strategy. And about your point around innovations, as a bank, we have deployed quite, a lot of innovations around mobile technology. We have a lending solution on mobile technology. We have a savings solution on mobile technology. We are even able to actually collect e-value on our e-commerce, solutions. But coming to the point where, government would have to manage our revenue, our ambition to increase our revenue port to the country's drive around mobile financial inclusion. I noted, as a banker in Absa, that in 2022, when the government introduced the e-levy tax, it was around 1.7% on every transaction on mobile money and digital platform. This message wasn't received, well by the country. So there was a lot of, nuances, strike, conversations around this. And the message got to the government. The tax was decreased to 1.5 after the first phase of implementation around 6 months. It was also decreased from 1.5% to 1%. What does this mean? I think the message got to the government very clear, and now they are balancing the need to increase the revenue port and the ambition to drive financial inclusion in our markets. And as we speak now, transaction has picked up 47% from 2022 to 63% growth in 2023. And starting 2024, we have seen transactions increasing into about 74 billion rand, checking it this morning, month on month. So the country is still poised to drive this financial inclusion strategy. And as a bank, I think we are ready to partner innovations around the ecosystem.
Now, thanks for that, Barbara. And as you were talking, I'm realizing that I made just a slight error because I mentioned 2023, but it was actually 2022. Thank you for that quick correction. Tele, your take, on this one, and I think for you specifically, I'm also just keen to get your sense on, do you see any other, because obviously we've got the case study of Ghana just around, what some of these regulations have done to them. Financial services is highly regulated across the board. That's nothing new. But perhaps for something like mobile money, there's still a bit of tension for that industry to get around, to put their heads around, some of those things. And banks are also now part of that that ecosystem as well, especially outside of a country like South Africa.
Absolutely. Thanks, Mudiwa. And just adding to, building on Barbara's points around the policy perspective and the regulatory context, she mentioned the impact of the e-levies on mobile money. And so, what we know and what we see is that the mobile sector bears a significant tax burden in many countries across the continent, and these taxes really essentially come in the form of these specific levies. And what this tends to translate to is obviously a cost burden that is passed on to the end user. And so I think, a key point would be looking, to your point, there is a significant amount of tension in the system, with key players, kind of regularly lobbying and engaging the regulators in terms of how to ease this burden. And, when we talk Africa, to be honest, I think Barbara and I really are specifically talking sub-Saharan Africa, right? And where there are more similarities in terms of how those particular countries in that market operate. And if we look at sub-Saharan Africa, what we know is that around 2021, based on the data that's available, the mobile sector paid approximately $9 billion in taxes and fees, right? So that's essentially about 30% of the mobile sector's revenues on average. And so that's something that is fairly significant, and is something that is obviously, you know, kind of putting pressure in the system. But it also shows the value of the mobile sector and telecommunications sector to economies across the continent. So I think that in terms of, you know, just obviously driving investment in the sector, driving inclusivity, both digital and financial in the sector, the policy perspective remains key.
So as we end off today's discussion, you know, maybe to bring all of the, all of the points together, some of those numbers that are being quoted by Cele are quite staggering. And I guess, you know, for this, for the continent, though not homogenous, there are a lot of common needs. And I guess that balancing act of, you know, driving the developmental agenda, but also at the same time, being able to either tax or at least, you know, bring in revenues that can be used by states, you know, in their own, you know, public economic agendas, you know, does sit, you know, as one of those things that people will likely be grappling with for at least the next couple of years. So that's where we end off for today's discussion. But before I do, you know, let our panel go, I'm just going to just allow for a quick minute or two of closing thoughts and remarks, you know, from both Barbara and Claire, just around right now, just to wrap the discussion together. One of the things I'm, you know, keen to, you know, get your sense on, something, you know, in the world of TMT, it can be in Ghana, South Africa, wherever it is on the African continent, that's making you smile and saying, okay, cool, that's something that's good, that's something that is actually helping us to drive, you know, this digital transformation agenda, you know, on the continent. It can literally be anything. It sounds like you guys have a lot of data points, you know, at your disposal. So anything, you know, that's making you smile, just around what the activity you're seeing in the space as we round off. Bob, out with you.
Yes, Bodiwa, I actually smiled, I mean, when you said that. So for me personally, I am most excited, you know, by the potential that technology is able to transform a whole continent and lives. Its ability to enable accessibility to basic needs like transportation, insurance, medicine, health needs, and what have you. I think that it has actually also thrown some opportunity in the fintech space, and it's even looking to boost more innovations once the fundamentals, that is the infrastructures, are, you know, done right. And as a bank, we are ready to partner those, you know, I mean, infrastructure, those investment required, and most importantly, be that partner of choice to technology businesses that are looking into Africa to support this digital inclusion, you know, strategy. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Cele, your last words on this conversation?
Thanks, Modiwa. A couple of things make me smile, given the context of the challenges around the continent, and maybe my sense of what the challenges are really from a technology, telecommunications, media perspective around the continent are, I guess, twofold, really, largely. And I will summarize that as access and affordability. So to our earlier points, we obviously have a challenge in terms of access from a mobile penetration perspective, from an internet penetration perspective, from a connectivity perspective. And we also obviously have an affordability challenge. But in that context, what definitely makes me smile is the activity around the continent, the collaborations we're starting to see amongst the various players, be it lenders, be it private equity players, be it governments, be it mobile network operators, and anyone else across the value chain. What we're seeing is, I guess, and what it will encourage is leveraging what I call the African demographic dividend. And by that, I'm referring to the young population that we have. You know, driving this digital transformation will require a certain kind of skill and an evolving skill set. So what makes me smile is investment in growing that skill set, accessibility to digital skills, creating new types of job opportunities for young people across the continent, and you know, just giving the continent access to the global village and vice versa. So that is something that makes me smile, and something that we've been involved in and that I'm personally quite close to is increasingly seeing young girls and women, particularly, you know, choosing to go into the STEM fields, driving engagement across different digital initiatives. We recently partnered with an NPO with teaching young girls robotics. So the digital skills revolution is definitely making me smile.
All right. So it has been a really great discussion, just talking about what's going on in terms of telecoms and technology on the African continent. I think a couple of key points we started off just talking about, you know, some of the digital transformation agendas, you know, on the continent, plans such as the African Union's digital transformation strategy, and, you know, Barbara helping us to make sense of what that is and some of the things that they are hoping to achieve from that, but clearly helping us to then understand that, you know, great to have a plan, but the implementation, you know, of something like that is quite key. And the point that she made specifically is that, you know, the African continent is not homogenous. You've got over 50 countries, over 50 different sets of economic levels, challenges, circumstances, populations, densities, all of these things that need to be taken into account when putting such a broad vision of what the continent could be doing, you know, into effect. We also got, you know, some good insights into how a country like Ghana is balancing being a country that is embracing technology, but also at the same time trying to push the developmental agenda, because Barbara did highlight the fact that a lot of the big technology adoption that is happening, at least on the bleeding edge, is happening in the more urban types of areas. And that's actually something that I would say mirrors a country like South Africa, for example, and I'm sure one or two other countries on the continent as well, that you see that that push. But, you know, we do need to push that. And we also heard Cele then getting into, you know, a lot of the things that need to happen on the developmental side. She gave us some great statistics, you know, just around, you know, I think she mentioned the average, you know, of being 50 Ks away from, you know, a fiber line. Internet penetration levels, as well as device affordability. But outside of the challenges, you know, there are some green shoots. You know, for Barbara, it's a transformational, you know, how transformative technology has can be, you know, for a country. And I think Cele mentioned the fact that there's a lot going on in the space, but one of the things that makes her smile is how many women are now getting into, you know, some of these fields, you know, in and the world of technology and the rest of the STEM subjects. So that's been it. We have been in conversation with Cele Moyo, who is technology, media and telecoms coverage banker over at Absa's Corporate and Investment Bank, together with Barbara Asafu Ajay, who is the head of technology, media and telecoms, that's TMT, over at Absa Ghana. Ladies, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks, Mudiwa.
Thanks, Mudiwa.
And that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcasts on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab on Twitter with hashtag BD Spotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you to our amazing team. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail. And this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So for myself and the rest of the team, it is a good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.